Tonight's message is entitled, and it's a takeoff on a message I had sometime before this. It's called Battles. And I think we're in an age of battles right now. Personal battles. Sometimes when a person is going through personal battles, they don't want to even hear you say that. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. Theological battles, and people are battling of all kinds of theories. Doctrinal battles, and they're arguing now just as vehemently as they were 2,000 years ago. Family battles, church battles. I mean, there's a whole war going on right now. Who's got more truth than the other? Church battles? Battles in our spirits? Before I get into Psalm 78 and 9, I'd like to minister from Psalm 24 and 8, and it says like this, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord is mighty in the battle." Of course, that is Jesus Christ. It says He conquered sin and death and hell. And so, what more is there? You having problems with some kind of sin or worried about death, dying, sorts? Well, the Lord has conquered all of that. Maybe you're in a battle. Maybe you're so nervous that you quiver and you shake all over. How many have been in a battle like that this week? Where they just sort of quiver all over? Of course, you wouldn't tell me if you had, because... You see, if you want to win a battle, you have to recognize the author and finisher of your faith. Who is this King of glory? Well, now you got to take your mind off yourself and your own battles. The Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in the battle. And you have to go on that right now. You have to pick up on that. I'm afraid many are turning back in the day of battle. Now let's get into Psalm 78 and 9, and it says like this, "The children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle." It's easy to do when you get up and you know you're going to face a battle. You often think of running, you think of not going to school, you think of not facing that job or that boss or that situation or that person. But see, if you don't face that situation right then and there, then that situation is going to be facing you. Well, you can turn your back on it. Just turn around, it'll still be there. Battles are made to be won, and it says, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord is strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in the battle." And so we face that trial and we face that situation, and we are armed also, and we have bows also, and so are we going to turn are back in the day of battle? And I guess the question comes tonight, you listening on the radio to this tape, you out here in this audience, is your obedience active? See, an obedience that isn't active isn't an obedience. Well, I'd like to do that. Well, I've been thinking about it, and I've given it a lot of thought, but that doesn't mean anything. That's the same as turning your back in the day of battle unless you actively become involved. But is your obedience sound? Well, you'll find out if your obedience is sound, because when a trial comes up, you might cut and run. Is your obedience Sincere. Well, what is sincere? We say that all the time when you write letters. Sincerely yours. We don't even know the person. Sort of hypocrisy. Sincerely yours, with love, so-and-so. How sincere are we? How active are we? And how sound is your obedience? Well, it'll be tested. And it'll be tried. Now, I'm not saying that in a negative sense. I'm saying that's just a fact. And if you will suffer for Christ when God calls you to such an errand, will you do that? I was watching this minister last night, and I won't mention names because I'm on tape. I watched him. And did a fantastic job. And all of a sudden, he did a switch. Complete turnaround. Because there was that spirit of battle out there. And I was sitting down here and I was listening, and I felt that spirit of battle come over the audience. And I felt the Holy Spirit then speaking. And I saw that ministry take on an active and a sound and a sincere call to the battle. And a lot of the folks were just sort of partying, kind of like a little party spirit. But when the Holy Spirit started to deal, was another story, wasn't it? But the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. And why? I mean, they were armed to the teeth. Why did they turn back? And we are armed with a King of glory. And why do we turn back? Because we have been taught that there is no suffering, that there is no, it's all negative, and so on like that. And it says, if you do not suffer the sufferings of Christ, you'll not share in the glories of Christ. Turn back. Why do we turn back? Because of not being committed? Probably a little cowardice or laziness or uncaring. Oh, who cares? I got my own troubles, and I just want to sit down, and I want to sit in my own mess. Well, why don't you let God bless a mess and get up out of that mess? See, when you sit down in your mess, it's the same as turning your back in the day of battle. I don't care what's going on out there. I've got my own mess to sit in, and I'm going to sit in it. And so you don't go nowhere, because it's just like turning your back. Now, when you do that, you're open to defeat every time. Now, I know you listening on the radio, there's a lot of people don't like this kind of thing. They don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. And you're sitting there, and you turned your back in the battle, and you know what? You turn around, it's still going to be there. It isn't going to go away. Well, if you're wondering why that they were so cowardly, let's read up a verse or two here. You'll stop wondering why. Sometimes you have to check things out before it happened. Why is this person that way? Let's go back a ways and we home movie it backwards. A couple frames, and we short circuit the frames a little bit at a time, and we find out just what happened. So sometimes when reading the scripture, we have to go back a little bit to find out why. And sometimes in your own lives. You are the walking, talking epistles known and read of men. Why are you the way that you are? Well, let's go back. Why are you so cowardly now? Why, with all of these bows and spears and your arm to the teeth with the word of God, why are you turning back? And here it is. A generation that set not their heart aright Her heart wasn't set on the thing. And whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So the scene has been set for a division in your heart. And now we can finally understand why the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Because they didn't have their hearts set. Now you heard somebody say like this, "Oh, I had my heart set on that thing." That's a lie. They wished for that thing, but they didn't have their heart set on that thing because they didn't get that thing. Now, I just wanted it ever so bad. I had my heart set on getting that dress for the prom or whatever. Well, why didn't you go out and make some money and buy that thing? Well, why didn't you? Your heart wasn't really set aright. So many times in our lives, our hearts are not set aright. And whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Well, and you're going to turn back. You're going to listen to voices out there. You're going to listen to people. Are you hearing this? Now, I mean, you can have a whole lot of armor on. But if you have a heart that isn't set right, you're just like that creaky old tin thing in the Wizard of Oz. You haven't got no Holy Spirit oil on you. You're all rusty and craggy and... Huh? And so that armor does you no good because, you know, a few crows can light on you and knock you down. Your heart is not set aright, and the heart underneath all that armor is useless. Well, you can talk all you want to talk. If your heart isn't set aright, it don't mean nothing. Does it? That's like someone in the army, and they're all talking about, "Boy, we're going to have this commando situation going on, and we want volunteers." And guys will really quickly put up their hand. Me. But if their heart isn't set, you are in trouble. If they're walking along and they're doing a whole lot of talking while they're walking, it seems to me like they're trying to talk themselves into it. So many times you'll see people quoting scriptures to one another, trying to talk one another into things. You can't talk people into it. It's got to be a spiritual awakening. Well, if you're going to walk out on fear, then you have to set your heart aright, have to set your heart in faith, and you have to move ahead with knees a-trembling, ready to buckle, ready to go out. And you have to set your heart aright, and you got to have a right spirit towards God, steadfast. Well, I know that works. I've been in those situations. I am in that situation. And if you'll listen to me tonight, there is a way, God will make a way where there seemeth to be no way. And boy, what a beautiful situation that is when there seems to be no way. Why? Because you're going to call on the Lord. You get so frustrated in that woodland, in the bush country, and you can't find your way out. You finally have to call out. You lay down all of your spiritualities, and you call upon the name of the Lord and say, "My God, help me. I'm a mess." God can bless a mess if you won't sit in that mess. Now, there's only one thing worse than a mess, and that's two messes. Now, you've heard that song, "When a Body Meet a Body." Well, when a mess meets a mess, you got a heap of trouble. Say amen, somebody. But God is the one that can deliver you out of it. Strong He is. Mighty, the Lord mighty in the battle. Of course, now we're speaking of David here in, I believe it's the first book of Chronicles, 7 and 19 or 20. And it tells about how the sons of Ephraim were slain, trying to take away the men of God's cattle. Now, it appears, of course, that this happened during the time that the people were in Egypt. And it says, Ephraim's sons made a raid upon the promised land and attacked the men of God. And they believed it to be theirs, and they believed it according to a promise. There's a promise in the Bible that's ours, and so we're going to go and take it. And they went before they had a divine okay, a divine decree from God to go over and do it. And so many people read the promises of God without asking God. So you said in your word, and such and such and such, and you made a promise, and I'm going to hold you to your promise. Well, how would you like it if one of your little ones was 5 years old and he read a promise that by the time you're 15 years old, you're going to driver's training, and then you're going to be 16, you're going to have your driver's license. And he prematurely picked up on a promise and said, I claim it for myself. It's in here and I want it. Yeah, but it hasn't got a divine decree on it yet, and I didn't tell you to go yet. So many times we can say, well, the promises are there for me. But did you get the divine authority to do so? No. No, no, no. And that's where people go off. But you said in your word. And the problem is that there's millions of people that right now are commanding God and saying, but you said in your word, ask anything, and I want to be a preacher, and I want to be an evangelist. No, we just can't have, 50 million evangelists. Or 50 million singers. Now, how many are hearing this? But you promise it's in the Word. But it has to have the divine authority, and there's a time involved. Now, see, you're working for Western Union, see, and you're brand new at it, and you got all your pants all tied up here like this, see, for riding his bicycle. The guy says, now, go on down, sit over there, and I'll call on you when I need you. Now, I promise you, I'm going to give you messages because they come in all the time, and I'll tell you to take this message out to the highways and to the byways. And the guy gets up, and he gets anxious, and he runs over. Any messages yet? No. Goes and sits down, back up again. Any messages yet? No, go sit down. I'll let you know when it's time for you to go. When the message comes in, and I'll send you when I tell you, then you'll go out with a message. And that's just exactly the way we do it. We got so many messages for each other, but God hasn't sent us yet. We're premature. And consequently, we have to go into the incubator. You're not ready yet. We're 2 years ahead. We're premature birth on some promise. According to the word. And I claim it in the mighty name of Jesus for myself. But God didn't decree it yet, and he hasn't given you the authority yet, and he hasn't told you to do it yet. That's where we get off. You start to read all 7,000 plus scriptures and you say, thus saith the Lord, and that's the way it's going to be, and God doesn't have no say or no will in the matter whatsoever. Well, what does that mean? That means you're God already. Whew. Before the call came, before the okay signal came, that's like a race. See, you're lined up. Come on. You're lined up on your marks. get set, and the guy jumps the gun and runs the race. Before the gun, and he runs all the way around the track. Doesn't count. Gun didn't go off yet. You hearing this? Or a guy's in a boxing match and he walks over and the guy's sitting on his stool. Sure, the idea is for you to knock the other guy out, see? And just like God says, you know, fight the devil, but he doesn't tell you to go over there. When he gives you the command to go, so many people war before they get the command from God. Are you hearing this? And they take on the responsibility, God's responsibility, to war. And the guy goes over in the corner and he knocks the guy out there. Do you think he won that fight? No. He didn't win it. Disqualified. Disqualified from the ring, disqualified from the race. Why? He didn't wait for the authority to tell him to go yet. He just said, hey, there's the track. Here's two legs. Come on, lefty and righty. Let's make it around the track. Deliver me home. Won't do any good. Got to learn to wait upon the Lord. They made God's decrees the rule of their life instead of God's revealed will. They made God's, let me say it again, God's decrees the rule of their life. Now, this is the rule of my life. I will go by it. The promises are in here and they are for me. And you got ministries all over. They're telling people the promises of God are in there. They are for you. Claim them now and don't wait one more minute. Well, I'll tell you something, that is not scriptural. Because, see, that was the rule of their life instead of God's revealed will. And God has to reveal to you the battle plan before you get into the battle. Now, with every promise, you're going to face a battle. Well, did you know that? That you're going to face a battle every time you step in with a promise. There is a battlefield. God, you said in your word. Okay, so be it. Sit down and let me reveal my plan to you before you go off half-cocked and ruin the whole battle. And sometimes we get into fighting our own battles. And we start claiming this and doing this. And boy, we get in there, I'll show you! Huh? God says, will you please wait? This enemy is more powerful than you. Your mind will play tricks upon you. I have to make you ready first. You're still in diapers. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I'm 60 years old. Doesn't make no difference. You just got diapers on. You got ugly legs. That's all. How many hearing this? See, and that's where it is right now. Everybody claiming the promises of God and nobody waiting for the revealed will of God in the matter. And you know what happened to these folks? They soon fell into trouble. And people who make that same mistake will always fall into trouble. Now, you see, you get ready for this trip, see? And you get your 8-year-old boy ready and your 12-year-old girl ready and your 13-year-old girl ready and get them all and you put them in bed. Say, tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock, we're going to get up and we're getting in the camper and we're going to go on this trip. And here's the map, and we're going to go this way and so on like that. And the kids get up and they decide that they're going to go on their own. Well, didn't he promise we were going to take a trip? We went in his bedroom, he wasn't there, so now he promised, so we'll just go ahead on our own. Do you think that they have the right to go ahead on their own? Do you think that God can change his mind and not go that very day? Did you seek the Lord to see whether he wanted to go or wanted you to go? No, you're going to fall into trouble. I don't care how many pillows you sit on so you can see out of the windshield. See, claiming this and claiming that according to the promise without waiting for the divine authority to do so. And so what is that? It's disobedience. Did you ever disobey your parents and they said to you, well, you said. Yeah, I know what I said. But there's a time involved. I said, but that's a month from now. But that's jumping the gun on the promises. That's asking for no direction. See, because a whole lot of people never even seek God's will in matters, but only use God's word for their own benefit. And it will not work. There are people slain all across the Christian world with that very thing. Crippled in their minds, run off to here and run off to there, claiming a promise and not waiting for God's divine authority. Out there in left field. Now, I know this isn't a popular message for you out there in radio land. Well, I'm not going to be popular. I'm not here for a popularity contest. So anyway, these young men, they defended their cattle for a time. But at last, the Bible says, they turned their backs and were slain. So number one tonight, let's consider what these men did. They turned their backs. Don't you ever turn your back on a battle. It's awful hard. It's hard to explain bullet wounds in your backside. Say amen. They turned their backs instead of facing the battle when it came, instead of facing the adversary, what'd they do? They dishonorably turned their backs and they fled. God help me not to do that when a battle comes, to turn coat and run. You listening on the radio, don't you turn coat and run. I don't care what the situation is. If you are obeying the Lord, don't you turn your back on him. How can you do it anyway? Are you hearing it? Now, I think this, I'm sorry to say it, but it's a very accurate picture of many Christians. They turn their back. God, that's sad. You ever been in a room where people turn their back and they just sort of, they'll see somebody coming and they'll kind of turn their back? How many have been in a situation where they had people that turned their back? Never in the whole of your life? Never? God, you must have been in a situation like that. Did you ever turn your back in the time of battle? Okay, now you on the radio, I'll ask you a question. Have you ever been known to turn your back in the day of battle? Well, I did it because this and that. No, I didn't ask you why. I'm not looking for your excuses. I'm asking you a question. A point in fact here is, did you ever turn your back in the day of battle? Of course you did. How can you? There is no excuse. I was listening to that ministry last night, and it lined up quite a bit with this ministry right here. I mean, it was to the point, simple, and says there is no excuse. There is no excuse for me to turn my back, or you to turn your back, in the day of battle. No, there is none. I've ministered that all the way through my ministry. There is no excuse. Oh, you can find them. And it says, they all made excuse. They had to make one, fabricate it, make it. Well, that's what they say. You made it up. Are you hearing this? And I believe some people do that at the very first sign of any kind of difficulty whatsoever. In the Bible, it talks about, there's a lion in the way, there's a lion in the way, saith the sluggard. I'll be slain in the streets, I shall be slain in the streets. And so it is with a lot of people. They see a little bit of trouble coming, a little conflict coming up, few little clouds rolling in their way, and they fear persecution and ridicule coming their way, and they run like a striped donkey. Ooh. Well, then I believe there are some that are just a little bit braver, and they stand the first wave. When there's just skirmishes when they first get out there, and you see that in boxing a lot of times. In the first round, the guy is great because he's fencing and dancing around, you know, and pounding and feinting and kind of feeling each other out and so on like that, you know. And it looks real good. And they even trade blows, blow for blow, blow for blow. When you say, man, these guys are going to go the whole 15 rounds. They'll never run. These guys are, this is going to be a great fight, right? No, wrong. One little cuff in the cheek. One pound in the ribs. One dent in the armor. One little ruffled feather. Do you ever get your feathers ruffled a little bit? And you look sort of just, your feathers are ruffled up, huh? You look like a chicken been pulled through a knot hole backwards. And everybody sees you. Huh? And you're wounded. And so you quit. I quit. You go look in the mirror and your friends say, what happened to you? I got pulled through a knot hole backwards. I give up. How am I hearing this? Have you been that way? Has your plumage been frazzled as of late? Hey, you have not lived until your plumage has been ruffled. Called humbling. It's that proud peacock. Huh? And the wind comes up and slams them up against the cage. Huh? And a couple of ugly old hens get in there and start pecking at him. And his feathers are dragging behind him. Ah, you been that way lately? Well, you're for the birds. How many hearing this? But they're very bold to begin with. But boy, they get a little bit of plumage and a little bit of their feathers is wrinkled up a little bit. And people see them. Boy, you're not as great as I thought. You're not as beautiful as I thought you are. Look at you. You're a plain old bird. Look at your feathers. You haven't got it together. Your feathers aren't together. They're all yucky and greasy looking. Huh? And you're dragging in the mud. And so you go dragging off in defeat. Huh? Yeah? How many know what I'm talking about? Of course, no one knows what I'm talking about. Isn't that right? You say, hey, what's going on? I give up. Everybody see me in this state of confusion and, you know, ruffled feathers. I mean, look at me, I'm a mess. I'm just a mess. Now maybe you're sitting at home and your mascara is running down your neck. And you're feeling really bad because you're a mess. Well, the Bible says, be careful when you think you're something, be nothing at all. Now you have nothing to worry about. How many get that way at home? It's called housecoatitis. You walk around in your housecoat all day long with a gray sickness. Now what you need to do is have someone come over and pull up the shades so you can come out of that land of moles. Mole City. Before they have to cart you off. And some professors even go on a little longer and they fight a little bit longer and a little bit longer. They got a little more constitution about them. And they quote famous little sayings like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. And they say that three or four times and preach, words will never harm me! Well, sound like they already harmed you. I don't care what people say! Oh, yes, you do. How many care what people say? You don't care what they say? Sure you care what they say. Jesus wept. God wept. But he also said, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're saying. But some stay a little longer, and they might even be cut off from their friends. And they say, run, you cowards, I'm going to stay forever. I'll never be like you. But you see, somehow the enemy can always find their tender spot. How many here have tender spots? Sore spots. Things where you can be touched. Maybe you'll have to give up something. Maybe that's your sore spot. Maybe you're the person that has to have the last word. You ever been around somebody who's got to have the last word? Or maybe you're the person that has to have the last word. You ever been around somebody like that? How many have been around people like that? Got to have the last word. Well, let them have it. Who needs it? Who needs to have the last word? I don't want the last one. Now I got a whole bunch more. See, the last word, people are hung up on the last word they gave out. Let them have it. Even now we're seeing battle-hardened old saints, white-haired old saints. Right along with the juvenile, right along with the young saint. That seemed to wear well for a while. But when a crushing, bone-snapping blow comes, they could not stand it. Down they go. I believe in the end time you're going to find out all those that live by grace or live by law. You'll find out soon enough who God's elect people are. And you're going to be awful surprised. Those that thought they were going to be last are going to be first. And those that are going to be first are going to be last. And always, the legalist thinks he's going to be first. He'll be last. And the person that's operating under the grace of God and recognizes he has a lot of faults and thinks he'll be last, well, the Bible says he'll be first. Isn't that strange? Were you laughed at this week? Did someone snicker about you? Did it bother you? Were you called names when you were kids? You remember how they used to call you names? Fatty, fatty, 2x4, couldn't get through the kitchen door. Did it bother you? Did somebody call you names this week? Have your friends forsaken you? Huh? Do you now cry, God has forsaken me? Well, whatever happened to, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Maybe you're ready to give it all up and go back into the world. The world don't want you. They don't want you. No, see, these are trials set of God. And that's the way he separates the chaff from the wheat. And it lets us see who the true soldiers are too, doesn't it? And who are the turncoats in the day of battle? God grant us the grace that when this final battle comes on, and I'm telling you right now, we are in a battle. I felt it last night at that meeting. There is a warring in the spirit like you would not believe. And we are in a battle. God help us not to turn our back in the day of battle. But then again, going back to the children and looking at the children of Ephraim, I would say that they turned their backs and failed to defend the ark. And we have those that defend the truth. And when it comes to defending that truth, shy away from every controversy that there is. They call it a timid disposition. The Bible says not to be that way. I have not given you over the spirit of timidity. Then they'll call it a loving disposition because they're sweet and they're timid. That when the war trumpet sounds, yes, they take care of things in the rear. They go on R&R, rest and relaxation. When the trumpet sounds, brothers and sisters, they run to the rear to check out to see if there's enough stretchers for the wounded that's going to be. There's going to be a lot of wounded. We better go check on the stretchers, huh? And that's the kind of job they want. They don't want to get in the battle. They want to be part of God's army, but they want to be in the rear, bringing up the rear. And they're ever so brave when the battle isn't real hot. And I think I said in that message that when the dead bodies are laying all over, then they're not quite as brave.
when the flies are buzzing around and the maggots are having a feast and the vultures are hanging around, and the grim reality of war finally comes home to roost, then they're now, spiritually speaking, those are the kind of wars that's going on right now. When that happens, there's a whole lot of people that gotta go check out the rear. I'm reminded of Gideon when he told them to take a look down, and they had all of these warring men down there. Wow, I mean, they were scarred from head to toe, and he gave them their leave. And they had that mass exodus, you know? But anyway, going on as far as they're concerned, the Ark of God can be taken by the Philistines because they turn their backs. You ever see somebody doing something and you turn your back and pretend like you didn't see it? We're coming tonight. I was up in this area up in here, and there's a sign up there. It says, if you witness an accident on 5-14-86, something like that, please call this number. Nobody's going to call. People don't want to get involved, do they? People do not want to get involved with other people's problems. I got enough problems of my own, man. Well, isn't that the way it is? Now, you call up somebody enough times, and pretty soon they're going to say, oh, really now, you're going to have to quit calling me all the time. Well, that's the time to call upon the name of the Lord in the time of trouble, and He will answer. But anyway, people lose their courage to fight for Jesus. They do. These Ephraimites ought to too, as Joshua had set them example, to have conquered Canaan, to have driven out the Canaanites who were still there, and some of us still have sins that live because we've turned our backs on them. Turn your backs on them. Instead of contending with them. You got a temper? Is your excuse, I got red hair and I'm Irish, or I got freckles, and everybody's got freckles like that. Of course, then it's in their bloodline. They just have tempers. Well, a lot of Christians have tempers. Well, now you got to slay them. Do you have fear? Do you have Canaanites of fear? Well, don't turn your back on it. Don't claim that it's non-existent. Well, it's not there. I don't see it. That's like a wolf standing outside your door, and says, don't go outside that door. There's a wolf out there. It's got teeth about that long. It's got fangs. Man, this thing is mean. It's got foam running out of its mouth. It'll bite you. Oh, no. No, it's not there. It's a figment of your imagination. Just pretend like it isn't there. See, they can smell fear. And if they smell fear, they'll bite you. They'll bite you anyway. Don't just pretend like it isn't there. Nice wolf. Ah! It says the devil is a roaring lion. Why are you going to say he's not there? Non-existent? No, he's there. Better believe he's there. How many know? Oh, the devil's there. He's here and he's there and he's everywhere. You ever try to jump in your spiritual car and ditch him? No, you got to slay them. You got to slay these things. Because if you don't overcome it, it'll overcome you. Rest assured that you are guilty. And that your turn, if you turn your back and you don't fight with it and you don't contend with it, you're going to lose. Do not be content, people, the way you are tonight. You listening on the radio today. Change. It says go from glory to glory. Well, how do you do that? You've got to die daily, the Bible says. And you'll have plenty of people help you to do that if you let your feathers get a little bit ruffled. And it's the same with drinking, it's the same with smoking, it's the same with dividers and slanders. Those are the enemy, and you got to face them. You turn your back on it and try to act like it never happened, and what will happen? Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. People all around us say the devil hasn't found us all. Say it isn't so, huh? It is so. Don't try to pretend like it isn't so when it is so. But many of you are doing as best as is within you. Or at least I hope you soon will be. But I'm afraid a whole lot of you people listening on the radio are not doing what you should do. But are slinking and sliding away from a practical purpose in God using, you know, now famous little Christian cliches. Going in the synagogues to be seen of men. Going to church to be seen. Going to meetings to be seen. Won't sit down. Last night at a meeting, there were people that would not sit down. There were people were sitting down all over, and there were people that were standing up. They wanted to be seen. They would not sit down. And I just asked one guy, I says, is there no chair up there? Oh yeah, I have a chair. Are you hearing this? Now, a lot of us are not doing what we should do, but shrinking from duty. Going to 14 churches. Now, you're well informed of what's going on and where. You are a walking multiple church bulletin board. You are well fed, but you're underworked. And you are getting spiritually fatter every day. Now, I'd call that sort of a hog, a word hog that lays in the mud and rolls around and eats and grunts and rolls around in it. But I'd like to ask you a question. Just exactly what are you doing for Jesus running all over the place? What are you doing? Are you trying to stay uncommitted? Now, I think a lot of folks like that are vagrants. What would you call them? Vagabonds. Wanderers. And they wander like nomads from one church to the next. I used to get them when I was in the suburbs. Sometimes they'd come six at a time. They'd get mad at something that happened over there or something that happened over there. I don't have to worry about that down here. Nobody comes down here. How many hearing this? Are you hearing it? But they'd wander in. Oh, we were so thrilled by the message, brother so-and-so, and I don't want to say anything, but you know, we were over at that church, and this happened and that happened, and we just got disgusted, and I said, I mentioned it to my friends here, and let's go over and see Pastor Paul. I mean, let's just go over, and we just so enjoyed this today. I mean, we really did. And I thought to myself, how many other preachers have you told the very same thing? We just really enjoyed this today. And I looked down and they had track shoes on. I thought, well, they won't be here long. Or they had shuffling shoes on. You ever heard that song, Shuffling Off to Buffalo? Where's the commitment? Where's standing in the day of battle? You're very little credit to anybody, and I hope you're listening to this. And it says in the Bible, we must all labor while we still can, and in our own place. And do not do, I would add, like the children of Ephraim, who turned their back in the day of battle. Well, let's look at why they did it. And let's look also at when they did it. They turned their back, and their doing so would not have mattered so much. No, it wouldn't have mattered quite as much if they would have done it in the day of... Hey, a lot of people turn their backs in the day of... If they'd done it in the day of feasting, it would have been so bad. I've never seen a Christian turn his back yet on the day of feasting. Right? No, they're front and center. They're standing there at the plate and heaping it on there, you know, until it's about that high. Now, I'm just using food. But I'm talking about a day of feasting, spiritual feasting. No one turns their back on that day. Is that right? We're talking about battles. Now, tomorrow, Don is going to be involved in the Battle of the Bands. Right? Let me tell you, it'll be a battle. Won't it? They called it right. And I'm not getting on your case. I'm just saying it will be a battle. Could almost end up in a fist fight. Battle of the bands. Battle of the doctrines. Battle of the preachers. Battle of the people. Battle, battle, battle. Why are they battling about? Don't turn your back in the day of the battling of the bands, where somebody will part your head with a drumstick. Now, you could spare people in the time of feasting. Well, you can get along with them if they're not in the feast. But in the day of battle, why is it that in the day of battle people turn their backs? But when it's the day of feasting and plenty and everything is coming up roses, everybody's there. Praise the Lord. But when it's in the dry time, but when it's in a battle time, but when it's in a dedicated, let's get dedicated time, where are the people? They have turned their backs in the day of battle. Turn their backs in the day of battle. Turn their backs, yes, in the day of battle. They turn their backs, yes, in the day of battle. Where are they? Why, they're at Perkins. Or, for equal time, Pannekoeken. And they're all there. Every one of them. Count them one by one. But where are they in the day of battle? I was so thankful last night when the switch in ministry came. When the Holy Spirit started dealing somehow. And everybody was poking everybody. And it was great. I was enjoying it. Did you notice? And it was just great. I loved it because it just lined up and it was having a lot of fun. I believe Christians should have fun. And they were poking each other. But when the battle came, and they got so quiet, they got wounded and their lips started coming out and a little bit of quivering. We didn't expect this to happen. Where are people when the going gets tough? The tough get going. Where are they when the going gets tough? Are you hearing this, preacher? Huh? What's that? Oh, yeah, Denny's. All right, I forgot one, so. Is this making any sense? Where are we when it comes down to the nitty-gritty? Why is it we can all stand in when we're in a spiritual walkthrough, going through picking out spiritual goodies, but when it comes time to wash the dishes, we is gone? Excuse me, I got to get home. I have been away too long. Now, you're never worried about being away from home until the battle came on. Now all of a sudden you have to be home. You've had your yap going for 4.5 hours straight. Either it had food in it going up and down, or it had words in it going up and down. But now, my God, there's dishes to do, and you got to get yourself out of there quick because there's a battle coming on and you don't want to get caught in it. Does it sound kind of familiar? And we are all, every one of us, guilty of it. You're talking right to me, I know it. I just know it. I left dishes in the sink. Oh my, come on. See, their faces were always to the front when there was feasting to be done. You can see them whenever there's a good time to be had. Man, they are there. Hi, Sally. Hi, Fred. Hi, Joe. Gee, long time no see. Where you been, guy? Oh, wow. Mary, Joe, Pete, Fred, huh? You ever been to those kind of things? Everybody, huh? But now a time a battle comes in. And what's a battle? Battle's when you have to get into your billfold. Now, we're talking battles. I mean, capital B. Capital B for battle when you have to get in your billfold. Big battle now. Will you turn your back on it? Well, that'd be like down here. Guy comes to take a collection, and you turn your back. And then he comes around the side and you keep turning around. You keep turning your back. It's called the cold shoulder. You let somebody say, Colonel Sanders chicken, what? Ooh. We're talking big B here. We're talking gimme, gimme, gimme. We're not talking gimme, gimme, gimme. Oh, we're there when the holidays and parades are there. Oh, we're all there then, aren't we? All our faces are up front then, aren't they? You mentioned a free trip to Israel. I'll tell you, there'll be a whole lot of faces up front. But then you mention a trip to Ethiopia with no pay, or a trip to the north side with no pay and a long stay, then you're going to have people turn their backs on you. Or at big name concerts, well, hey, everybody's there. Everybody that is anybody will be there. Not to see the person so much as to see each other. Say amen. Or a march on Washington? Oh, that tickled me when I seen that. And they had this march on Washington. What did it prove? Nothing. That there were a whole lot of husbands that were at home and they were mad because they were eating these lousy TV dinners, see. And then they had a battle to face when they came home. No, I think this, when there is something sweet to feed on, they do not think of turning back. Forward, ho! Strawberry shortcake, let's go get it! Da 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 da. But when there is a battle, when there are souls to be saved, when there are things to be done, they turn their backs. Why do they turn their backs? Well, they had to. There's strawberry shortcake over that way, and there's a whole lot of strawberry shortcake ministry that's pulling people and having them turn their backs on the real reality of Jesus Christ and doing a little bit of suffering and getting involved. And they even lay scripture to it so that they say, well, here it is. And so they turned their back just when they were to be tried. Just when they were to be tried, they turned their back. I think there's a whole lot of godliness that's used on unnecessary things. Huh? What if you bought yourself something and what if you bought yourself a pair of shoes and, you know, and they were pinching your feet and they weren't warm in the wintertime and they look good, but they hurt your feet and they didn't keep them warm. What good would they be? Be walking around, God, my feet are freezing. Oh, ouch. Ooh, ow. And I believe that there are some Christians then in relation to this. Who is good for every day except in the day when it's to be tested, when they have to walk with it. And then the pinch and the bind comes. What good is a soldier that's never been tested? Many, it's a proven fact, turn their backs in the day of battle. They call it buck fever when the guy goes out hunting and he buck comes up, sticks the head right in their muzzle of their gun, and they can't fire. And so they turn their back at the only time when they were to be of any sort of use. Here comes an opportunity to be used and to use all of these scriptures and to use all of this knowledge and all this wisdom that comes from God, and when the time comes to use it, they turn their back. and probably get into another part of the Bible and get into another Bible study, and don't use that word that God has already put in them, but they got to have one more Bible study before they go into battle, just to make sure. Well, you better make sure that your gun is loaded. Some people don't even know it's loaded. I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'm so sorry, my friend. And they shoot their friend down. See, a fighting man is only good when there is fighting to be done. And the Bible tells us that we are in a fight. How many know you're in a fight? Well, I don't want to confess that. No, you don't have to confess it. The Bible confesses it for you. You are in a battle. You are in a fight. You are in a war. You are. You are, you are, you are. Whether you want to claim it or not, that is where you are. You're in a battle. B-A-T-T-L-E. Battle. Battle? Battle? You know, war? Poke you in your face? Fight? Battle? Huh? Kick you? Scratch you? Put the sword through you? Well, I'm talking battle. What good are you if you turn your back? Well, this guy says, come, ding, and they come out, and the guy starts a fight, and the guy turns his back. Oh, you know, he's going to get hit. Guy's going to do that around the tree hit on him. Boom, boom, he's going to knock him out. And that's like a man in any other kind of trade. There is a season when he is wanted. Now, you don't need a cook at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, sir, wake up, sir. And he's got a great big cook hat on, and he's got whites on, and he just looks like he just came out of a cookbook. You know what I mean? The Hotel Sofitel. Sir, wake up, sir. Sir, would you please taste this gravy at 2 o'clock in the morning? No, you don't need him then. And there's so many people that jump the gun and want you to taste their spiritual gravy at the wrong time. They don't wait for the divine call of God and the divine will of God. They got all the promises and they take all the promises, but they jump the gun with a promise. They run the race before the gun goes off. And they don't count. And the Bible says if the vine bears fruit, it is very valuable. But if it bears no fruit, then it is good for nothing at all. Are you bearing fruit? Well, there's a lot of leafy Christians that run around. They got all kinds of leaves. Oh, they look so great. The wind blows and their leaves. Huh? They look great. And then we have the stubbies that are out there. But they're not bearing any fruit. Now the oak is valuable for timber. Even thorns are valuable for a hedge. Even plants are good for medicine. But if a vine bears no fruit, it is absolutely, positively, unanimously good for nothing. Did you hear that, you listening on the radio? Good for nothing. And if your vine is ingrown, you're going to die. It will produce a poison. It is good for nothing. The Bible says, will a man even make a peg of it? Whereon to hang a vessel, says the prophet. No. It is of no use whatever, and so it is with a whole lot of Christians. If the Christian is not dedicated
And if the Christian is not true, he is of no good whatsoever. And don't baby and try to hold on to them, preacher. Forget it. They are good for nothing.
Well, even the world knows that. They even tell their own kids once in a while. You know what? You are a good for nothing. Good for nothing. Well, listen to what Christ says about it.
Neither fit for the land nor even for the dunghill, and men cast him out.
Would you enlist a soldier that was a turncoat? Would you like to be in his outfit?
Well, then what good is a Christian that turns it back in the day of trial? And at the time when they are most needed.
Oh, hey, no, I'm getting calls all the time. Paul, what is happening?
I have never seen such mass hysteria. I have never seen so many people in so much confusion and disillusion. And I just don't know what to say about all this. I listened to the radio broadcast today, and I had to, you know, I was laughing about it, but I also seen that there was a lot to agree with in it. They're turning their back in the day of trial.
Did you ever see when somebody calls for volunteer?
Okay, how many want to volunteer for so-and-so?
Well, no, they don't exactly turn their back. They kind of do one of these things. And they start talking to one another. Are we going to go, did you take the mower out? Did you put it back in? Did you put air in that tire? You know, there's a slow leak in it. They turn their back. How many know you call for volunteers? There's very few volunteers. Huh? Now you call volunteers to get into a feast, and you have to stand to the side. They'll trample you, run right over the top of you, bury you in the floor. You'd be part of the carpet. Have I made myself clear?
But what good is a Christian that turns his back in the day of trial and in the day of battle?
Now, in this verse here, we see that the people also turned their back in the day when victory was to be won. They had it in the bag.
I mean, the soldier, doesn't he want to distinguish himself? Doesn't he want to rise up out of the ranks? Doesn't he want to be promoted? He can't do that, and he hardly expects it to happen during a time of peace. You can't be promoted. You can't grow in the Lord until you get into a battle. And if you won't commit yourself to the battle, how are you ever going to get a battlefield commission? How are you ever going to raise up in the ranks? Isn't that the way it is with a Christian soldier?
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus marching on before. Da 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 da.
Huh? I mean, you make no advances if you're not in a fight. I can win if I'm in a war. If I'm not in a war, I can't win. And how can you win the race if you're not in the race? And how can you get into boxing but that you buffet the air? If there's no opponent, if he's non-existent, if you claim he wasn't there.
I claim you're not there. Ooh. Claim you're not there. Ooh. He's still there. Big and mean as life itself, he is there. Are you hearing this?
You cannot win if you're not in a war.
My only opportunity for conquering is when I am fighting. It says, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. But we don't get in any situations where we conquer. What are you going to do? Conquer the waitress at Pannekoeken? We won her over. No, she's tired of looking at you. Leave a tip. How many are you hearing it? Then there's a lot of waitresses. They just hate to see him come in. Say amen. Can you win a war, win a race if you're not in a race? Can you win a war if you're not in the war? Can you be more than a conqueror if you don't conquer anything? You can't even conquer your state. You can't even conquer your face. Go to the mirror and conquer your face. No, your only opportunity for conquering is when you're in the fighting. Now, when I run away, when there's a chance of winning the crown, I'll be like an airplane that never flies. I'll be like a car that has never driven. I cannot win without fighting. Thank God when your trial comes. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a trial coming. And don't get down. Oh, the trial. Trial number 9,714. God, will it ever end? No, no. Never end. It's a never-ending battle until you leave the surly bonds of earth. Wouldn't you rather be in the battle? Wouldn't you want to be what the Bible says, more than a conqueror? Wouldn't you want to be that one that runs the race to win? Wouldn't you want to be that one that buffets not the air but has an actual opponent? Wouldn't you want to be that one that climbs Mount Carmel and counts on the Lord over all the other gods? Wouldn't you want to be that one in the lion's den? I mean, there are trials. But what a boring thing it is to be up front and face forward during a feast time, but never when there's any kind of heavy battles, that you turn coat and run. God is choosing up sides right now. Doesn't the Bible say counter all joy when you fall into manifold temptations? Isn't that weird? Count it all joy when you fall into manifold. What's manifold mean? That means a whole bunch of them. Bunches of temptations. You know why that you should thank God for it? Because now you may add, to your faith, one virtue after another until your Christian character has been made perfect. How can it be made perfect? Here's a great big block of stone here. How are you ever going to make a perfect face out of that thing without chipping and chiseling at that thing? And how can a diamond ever be made perfect unless it has all the rough edges chopped off it? Isn't that right? No, there is a suffering and there is a work involved. You've been called to a work. You were bought with a price. Do you want to have a completed character? Well, then you got to go through the war. How can you have any kind of... That'd be like taking a little child. Okay, now let me put it this way. Here's a little baby bunting, little baby boy. And we aren't going to bring little baby bunting boy out. Because you will have trials out there. The wind is blowing today. No, no, the wind is blowing. Baby bunting can't go out today. Might get to colic. And the sun's out. Oh, he might get a sunburn. We can't take him out today. He might get sun all over himself and burn. Baby bunting, nope, too hot for him today. Whoa, too cold, snow, looks like bad weather. No, can't take him out in that kind of weather. Can't take him out, there's too much sun. Can't take him out, there's too much rain. Can't take him out, there's too much wind. Can't take him out, there's too much noise. Can't take him out, there's too much pollution. Can't take him out, there's dogs out there. There's lions in the street. There's a hole out, there's cars out there. And there's school teachers and principals and kids out there and mean kids out there and terrible mean kids out there and dogs and all kinds of bacteria. I won't take him out. Huh? You shield your child like that, and he is certainly going to be a wimp, right? Isn't he? And God isn't going to shield you like that either. But don't we like to shield each other? Sure. You don't want your kids to go through things. Oh, God, that kid doesn't know. Gee, he's going to have to go through this and that. Oh, you made it, didn't you? Didn't you make it? Hey, Bambino, didn't you make it? My dad used to tell, hey, you make it. I made it. You can do it. Isn't there a song, you can do it if you try? But we like to shield one another. Oh, baby, what's wrong? Baby, huh? Baby, oh, poor widow Christian. Whoa, huh? No. The only way you get fireproof is being put into the fire. And then you prove whether you're fireproof. Isn't that right? See, you're not going to have any kind of character, and that kid isn't going to have any kind of character until he gets out there and he goes through his trial. He goes running. Now he's grown 1 inch, and he goes running, and he runs under the tables, and he's running away from his other kid, but he's grown 2 inches. Whang! Oh! It's a trial. Isn't it? He has a hard time feeding himself. Oh, God. He's got this chair. He's way down here, and the table's way up here, and he goes to put the fork, and he gets it in his eyes, and he gets it in his ears, and he gets it in his hair and everything, and hardly any of it goes in his mouth. It's a trial. Man, it's hard to even eat. What next? He tries to crawl on the chair, and he can't get it. Oh, man, his chair is so high. Huh? And the bed is so big. And people are so big and so mean. Huh? Right? Isn't that right? And we try to shield, and we go through our life trying to shield ourselves. Well, the Bible says, put on the full armor of God. Ooh, to throw away, I've said right there, and saying all that, I've come to say this. To throw away the time of conflict is to throw away the crown. Did you hear that? You listening on the radio? No conflict. No crown. Oh, simple, silly, nincompoop, cowardly hearts. To be afraid of suffering for the cause of Christ. Well, I think you're even afraid of reigning with him then, for you must be, you must do one to do the other. Some people are afraid of even being laughed at a little bit, or being a little bit different. Unorthodox, they call it. Says all that live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, godly doesn't mean you purse up your lips so they look like a pencil. Pull your hair back and in a bun and put on some corny old platform shoes and wear a long black dress with some chantilly lace around the top of it and put on some old stingy glasses. Doesn't mean that at all. Means you live godly. To live godly is to live dangerously.